And what you did, you guys are so generous. And I am overwhelmed by your generosity. We have made it possible for about 30 families this year to have Christmas that might not have it if you hadn't responded in the way that you did. We helped with the foster children, and we did 25 foster children this year. And then we helped about 5 other families that probably wouldn't have Christmas if you didn't respond. And you know, you say that, well, you know, Christmas is too much about giving gifts. And you're right, it is. But if you're a kid and you don't have anything, poverty is a terrible thing. Poverty is a terrible thing if you don't have anything. And we're so blessed in this nation. Most of us are blessed way beyond we can ever show gratitude. And God has blessed us in so many ways, and we have so much. And but there are kids who live in poverty. And when they don't have, and they go to school and they see all of these kids that have so much and have been blessed by so much and got so much for Christmas, and they got nothing, it does something to their hearts. It does something to their minds. And it's more about living in poverty. But what you did this year has brought some relief to that. And there's going to be at least 30 families of kids that don't have to go back to school not having had a Christmas. So you guys are awesome. Give yourselves a good hand. You guys are awesome. I am such a blessed guy to be able to be one of the leaders in this church, to lead an awesome group of people like you. So open-hearted, so open-minded. God has blessed this church tremendously this last year, beyond probably what we've ever been blessed in one year. And I'm overwhelmed to be a part of it. I'm just glad I get to do just a little bit. And praise God. So I wanted to say that before I got into my message about Christmas is for giving. And that's kind of what it's about. But this message today is Christmas is for giving. And we're going to talk about Joseph. Now you're thinking Jesus, Dad, but we're going to talk about the Joseph of the Old Testament. And I want to tell you a little story as I get started today. Joseph was one of 12 kids, 12 brothers. He had 12 brothers. And Joseph was the youngest. In fact, he was his dad's favorite of all of the kids. And Joseph had some great qualities about him, but he also had some other qualities. And one of those was he always tattled on his brothers. And he was a young man, and he would go out into the field with his brothers, and he would come back. He was about 17 years old, and he'd come back, and he'd tattle on his brothers. And his dad just loved him more than all of the other kids. And he made him a coat of many colors. We've heard a lot about the coat of many colors. Dolly wrote a song about it. I don't think it had anything to do with this. But because he loved him so much, he gave him this coat of many colors. And his brothers were so envious of the relationship that he had with his father. But Joseph was a dreamer. And he wasn't just a dreamer. He dreamed dreams that God gave him. Two things going on. Joseph was a young man discovering his way and discovering his identity. And there was also a gift that was at work in his life. I want to go back and do a whole series on the life of Joseph, because he is probably, other than Jesus, my favorite Bible character, because he had such integrity about him. But he dreamed two dreams, and he dreamed a dream one time about sheaves. And he had all of his brothers had a sheaf, and his sheaf was exalted above his brothers, and all of their sheaves bowed to his sheaf. And he made the mistake of telling his family this dream. Will you imagine what that did to the older brothers? It really made them mad. They resented Joseph. And then he had another dream, and he saw the sun and the moon, and he saw 11 stars besides his star. And all of these stars bowed down to his star. And this upset his dad a little bit. This upset his brothers. But he was a dreamer. He didn't really know what these dreams meant. But God put these dreams in his heart, because God was going to do something very significant in his life. And again, his brothers were very jealous of him. So the father sends the brothers out in the field to do the works. And he sends Joseph after them to see about them. So the brothers see him coming, so they devised this scheme because they were envious, and therefore they hated Joseph. So one of the brothers said, "Let's kill him. Let's just kill him." And another brother said, "No, let's don't do that. He saw some Ishmaelites coming. So they threw him in a pit. They took off his coat of many colors, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. They killed a lamb. And they put blood on the coat, and they took it back to Dad and said he was killed by wild animals. Dad is grieving. But in the meantime, he is sold to the Ishmaelites, sold into slavery. And the Ishmaelites take him to Egypt. And when he gets to Egypt, he is purchased by a guy by the name of Potiphar. Now, Joseph is very highly favored of the Lord. God blesses him. There's favor on his life. And everything that Joseph touches prospers. He was really blessed of the Lord because the call of God was on his life. The gift of God was on his life. He was such a young man of integrity. And he is in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar begins to prosper because of Joseph's influence in his house. So Potiphar turns everything over to Joseph's care. Everything that Potiphar has, he turns over to Joseph's care. Well, one day Potiphar's wife decides that she would like to be with Joseph. And she approaches him day after day. And she said to him, Come have sex with me. Come have sex with me. And every day he resisted her advances. And this she did for a long time. And then one day she set the trap for him. All of the servants were away from the house. Joseph and her were there alone. And she approaches him with the proposition. Again, he said no. She grabs him and was going to force him. He runs away, leaves his garment in her hand, and she cries, "Rape." Potiphar has him put in prison. I mean, here Joseph is doing all of these things right in his life, and he winds up in slavery. Now he winds up in prison. He's in prison for a long time. Again, the favor of God is on Joseph's life. And everything that Joseph does, God blesses and prospers. And it winds up that, guess what? Joseph is over all of the prison. He's right under the head of the prison, and he conducts the affairs of the prison. And God blesses everything that he does. Joseph comes into tremendous favor in this prison. Now, he's still in prison. Nobody wants to be in prison, do they? If you've ever been, you don't want to go back. Amen. We got some folks that can say amen to that. I've never been. I've been, but to preach, not to stay. But during this prison, he has a couple of guys in there that has dreams. And he interprets those dreams, and those dreams both come to pass. And he tells those guys, he says, "Okay, now when you get out back with Pharaoh," he says, "tell them that I'm here. Help get me out of here." And he forgets. 2 years later, he's still in prison. He's staying faithful. He's still being blessed, but he's still in prison. He could be bitter if he chose to be, but he chose not to be. 2 years later, Pharaoh begins to have dreams. And Pharaoh wants to know the meaning of these dreams, so he brings in all of the occult people in, and they try to interpret the dream, and they can't interpret the dream. And all of a sudden, this guy that was in prison with Joseph, that he interpreted the dream, says, "Hey, there's a guy in prison, that there were two of us there, and he interpreted our dreams, and both of them came to pass." So Pharaoh sends for Joseph, brings him out, he gives the interpretation of the dreams, and he is set free from prison, and he is exalted in Pharaoh's government. Again, God blesses him under his guidance. There are 7 years of great prosperity. And Joseph becomes a wise man and conducts the affairs of Pharaoh and comes into such favor that, guess what? He's second only to Pharaoh. There were 7 years of famine after the 7 years of plenty. And the famine throughout the world at that time. And it even reached to where Joseph's father and brothers were. They didn't have anything. So everybody was coming to Egypt to buy from Pharaoh because they had stored up this great prosperity for these 7 years. And Joseph's brothers came to buy. Here is his chance to get even. He could be bitter. He could be angry. He could be vindictive. He could be all kinds of different ways if he chose to be that way. Now I want you to turn with me to, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 45. And I want us to look at this for just a minute, because when we think about Christmas, a lot of times we think about the baby Jesus. And I want, you know, and Hannah was singing in the song a while ago that when Mary was holding that baby that she had delivered, she didn't realize that it wasn't going to be just a few years later till that baby was going to deliver her. And not only her, but all of mankind with it. So the very reason that Jesus came is so that we could have forgiveness. And really, the reason for Christmas is not so that we can get, and it's okay to worship the baby. It's okay to acknowledge the birth. But really, the whole reason that Jesus had to come is because we were under the control of sin. And we were in a place that we could not be changed. That we were in bondage and we couldn't be forgiven. So when Jesus comes, He comes with the message, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's the whole message of Jesus in a nutshell. Peace on earth, peace from God, and goodwill. The heart of God is goodwill towards mankind. And He came to bring God's forgiveness to us. So, a little play on words this morning. Christmas is forgiving. Christmas is forgiving. We have received God's forgiveness. And now, during this Christmas time, we need to be thinking about being people who also forgive others who have hurt us. Now, if anybody could be justified in their feelings about resentment, it could be Joseph. He really didn't do anything wrong other than being an immature youth who didn't use wisdom. But he found himself in places every time he turned trying to do right, trying to be right, it seems like he got the raw end of the deal. Now, most of us in our lives, honestly, have deserved everything that we get because we haven't shown a lot of integrity many times. But in Joseph's case, he was a person of integrity. Now, he needed God's forgiveness just like the rest of us, but he was a person of integrity and yet fell into difficult times. But I believe that the reason that he was able to be so blessed was because of the integrity of his heart, in that he did not allow offense to take hold of his life. He could have resented his brothers. He could have resented the Ishmaelites that sold him into slavery. He could have resented Potiphar and Potiphar's wife for throwing him into prison and for tempting him like they did. He could have resented the guy that forgot about him for over 2 years and left him in prison when he could have helped get him free. He had lots of reasons from the natural where he could be resentful. And every one of us here today have had people in our lives who have hurt us for one reason or another. Some of our hurt is self-inflicted, but some of our hurt's not. Many of us have been done wrong in many ways in our life. There are those of you here who have hurt people, and you have been hurt by people. We're all in the same boat. You know, one thing I've discovered, folks, that we're pretty much all the same. We struggle with the same things. Pretty much human-wide, we have the same struggles. And then when someone does us wrong, our tendency is to want to get even with that person. Ooh, I don't want to do this. I can remember a few times when I have been done wrong that I have meditated on how, if I had the chance, that I would get even with that person. I have been there and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, and it gets more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. How that you would, if you could, you would show vengeance. But you know, Joseph didn't do that. He might have been tempted to do that, but he always stayed with his integrity. Always stayed with his integrity. So one day his brothers come to buy grain. And guess who they have to deal with? They have to deal with Joseph. And they didn't really recognize him. They really didn't know who he was. It had been many, many years since they had sold him into slavery, and they didn't recognize him. He had every chance in the world to be vindictive now. He could be unforgiving. He could get even. I tell you what, you know what, when he got promoted from the prison because of what Potiphar and his wife had done to him, what could he have done to Potiphar and his wife? But there's no record that he did anything to them, that he did not try to get back at them. And here comes his brothers, the one that caused the whole deal. And they come before him. And I love the way this reads. They come in there, and he's playing this role as they come in there. And he sees his brothers, and his heart breaks. And it says this, "Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants. And he cried out, 'Have everyone leave my presence.' So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it." When he saw his brothers, instead of being vengeful, instead of being vindictive, he wept so hard that everybody heard it. He was glad because he knew he had within his control the power to condemn them, but he knew what he was going to do. He was going to bless them. See, he saw something that nobody else saw. And here's the deal of what he saw. He saw that men meant harm to him, but God took what men meant for harm and turned it around and used it for his glory. Now, God didn't cause any of his problems. God does not cause our problems. We live in a fallen world. We cause a lot of our own problems. We have an enemy arrayed against us. There are so many things that reasons that problems come. But instead of getting bitter, he saw past that, and he saw a God that could take any situation and turn it around and make it work for good. And this is what has happened. He sent and had his father and his mother brought. And they lived in Egypt. And they were so blessed in Egypt. And they were so exalted. And the whole nation of Israel prospered in Egypt all the days of Joseph's life. Something that could have been him getting even turned out to him because of the integrity of his heart. He turned out to be such a blessing to the people who had hurt him. That's incredible, folks. That is really incredible. And that's why Joseph is one of the greatest biblical characters that there is. So what do I do when I'm hurt? When you're hurt, you have some choices that you have to make. You can get bitter, or you can do better. It's up to you. God doesn't make you choose. You have to choose what you're going to do. And I want to talk about three things today as we're celebrating this Christmas season when it comes to forgiving. Number one, here's what we need to do when we've been hurt. Number one, we need to choose to pray. We need to choose to pray. This is very simple. It says in Luke 23:34, and this is Jesus hanging on the cross. You're talking about the ultimate. You're talking about the ultimate of forgiveness is this. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He came to His own nation. He came to mankind. He came to us for our benefit. And we didn't receive Him. We didn't welcome Him. We didn't love Him. He is the answer to the world's dilemma, and the world rejected Him. Isaiah says that He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. We esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. And He's hanging on the cross. And they have beat Him to a bloody pulp. You know, we say, well, those Romans were a brutal bunch. Those Jews were terrible for sending Jesus to the cross. Jesus went to the cross because He chose to. Because He knew that if He didn't go to the cross, you and I couldn't be forgiven. So it was not the Romans, it was not the brutality of the Romans, or the ignorance, or the stubbornness of the Jews. Folks, it was our sin that He went to the cross for. You and I sent Him to the cross. And He's hanging on the cross after the Bible talks about how He was beaten so badly that you couldn't recognize Him. I mean, His flesh was gapped open, His bones were showing, His entrails were showing. What we see in pictures does not depict anything close to what happened to Him. He was beaten brutally. Crown of thorns on His head. They plucked His beard out. They spit on His face. They mocked Him. And here's what He says as He's hanging on the cross. Man. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Isn't that the whole reason He came? Is to bring forgiveness. But didn't He have a reason to just call down the fire of God and say, "I'm done with this bunch, nuke them, Father"? I believe that's probably what I'd have done. Aren't you? Be glad I'm not God. Okay? But He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they didn't. They didn't understand. They didn't understand that what He did was going to be for their forgiveness. So what do you do when you're hurt? If you do it the right way, you choose to pray. Okay, what do you pray? Number one, you pray for God to heal their hurt. pray for God to heal their hurt. There's a saying that hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. And that's so true. A lot of people strike out because of the pain in their life and they do injury to others. So when you're praying about your hurts, you're praying for those who have hurt you, pray for God to heal their hurt. Number two, pray for God to forgive them. Can we do that? Yeah, we can do that. Lord, don't hold against them what they did to me. Jesus prayed that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You can pray that for those who hurt you. Well, I don't want to. I understand you don't want to. Dude, I'm as human as you are. We want to call down the fire. We want to be like the disciples. Lord, just call the fire down. Jesus says, you don't understand what spirit you're of. There's a lot of Christians that don't understand what spirit they're of. They want to be critical and judgmental and so negative all the time. We're not of that spirit. We're of a different spirit. People are going to have to be forgiven if they're going to be set free. And it's our job as a church is to get people set free from their problems. So we pray for God to forgive them. And here's the hardest one. Pray for God to bless them. Pray for God to bless them. Luke 6:28 says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Now we'll pray for them, all right. We'll say, Lord, sick them. Get them. A pox upon you. That's the way we want to be, but that's not the spirit that we're of. See, you don't realize that when you forgive those who have hurt you, you're helping yourself so much. Well, I can't. I understand you can. This has to be a God thing. This has to be a work of God in your life. Here's the second choice. Is choose to forgive. You have to choose to pray. Two, you have to choose to forgive. Matthew 6:14-15 says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Uh-oh. See, that's tough. Did you know that you will be judged the way that you judge other people? There's going to be some folks in big, deep weed. They're going to be in trouble because they're so judgmental of other people. Now, I understand that there is sin and sin is wrong, and I'm not talking about saying, okay, it's okay to live anyway. That's not what I'm saying at all. But our attitude towards people is not to condemn people. It's all right to be against sin, but you can't be against people who are caught up in sin. We have to be for people. And, you know, there's people who not only condemn the sin, but they condemn the sinner too. And Jesus didn't come to condemn the sinner. He came to break the power of sin. And we get it all mixed up. And it just, because it's sowing and reaping, if you hold trespasses against other people and refuse to forgive them, then God cannot forgive you your trespasses. We got to think about that. You say, this is hard. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. It's the most blessed life that there is, but it's not the easiest life to live because you have to go against what your natural flesh wants to do sometimes. Do you ever want to just, in the name of Jesus, just smack them in the name of Jesus? I want to call the fire down in Jesus' name. No, 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 no. We're to forgive. And that's hard. Here's another one. Matthew 18:21-22 says this. Then Peter said to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? How about once? twice? But Peter says, up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or seven times seven. You got to practice the lifestyle of forgiving. Let me ask you a question. Is God forgiving? I wonder how many times that He has forgiven you in your life. Reckon it's more than seven times? Reckon it's more than 77 times? Well, brother, I don't sin. You're a liar. There's a group of people that walked, you know, we're sanctified, we don't sin. Dude, if you don't, let me tell you what sin is. It's not measuring up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our goal. That's who we're to be like, Jesus. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't think we measure up. We miss the mark. And if it weren't for the grace of God, and if it wasn't for the forgiveness of God, we would all be in trouble. We have to be forgiven all the time of falling short. We fall short in so many ways. In thought, word, and deed. I'm not talking about just being I'm just a mean dude. I'm just talking about in your daily life, when you're critical in your mind, when you're judgmental. I find myself sometimes thinking thoughts towards people I don't need to think. And I'm not talking about being vicious or anything, but, you know, thoughts that you have that comes to your mind. That's not the way Jesus thinks. I need to be cleansed of that. I need to be forgiven of that. So we need His forgiveness all the time. Therefore, we're going to have to choose to forgive and to be a forgiving person. You know what? If we had more forgiveness, we would have a whole lot less divorces. Oh, it gets quiet when you talk like that. See, we want to talk about them. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about where we are. There'd be a lot less strife in the church if we would practice forgiveness and choosing to forgive. You know, sometimes, and I talked about this earlier, one of the things that we have to learn how to do, folks, is church, we got to learn to like each other. Well, I don't like so-and-so. You need to repent. You need to forgive. You need to get over that. So you have to choose to live a lifestyle of forgiveness. I forgive Jason all the time. No, I'm kidding. Well, how do I forgive? It's easy. You focus on the fact that God has forgiven you. That's what you got to remember, that God has forgiven me, therefore I must forgive. Then the third one is to choose to bless. Choose to bless. We got to choose to pray. We have to choose to forgive. And then the third one is we have to choose to bless. What good is your forgiving somebody if you don't turn around and bless somebody? Let me ask you this. Being forgiven of something does not help you unless God adds His blessing with it. And when God chooses to forgive you, He also chooses to bless you. And this is what He wants to do, is God wants to bless His people. God wants to bless His people. He has to deal with the sin first. He gets the sin dealt with. Now He says, okay, blessing. So shouldn't we be the same way also, that when we forgive someone, well, yeah, but they didn't ask. I'm sure that there are times in your life that God forgives you of things that you don't even know that you're offensive in. You would probably, if God would open your eyes and we could see how offensive that we can be to Him sometimes, because of our attitudes, it would probably blow us away. And I simply believe this. You know, if you consciously do something wrong, you need to ask for forgiveness. But in these areas where we don't realize what we're doing, the grace of God makes up the difference, and God automatically forgives us of that. Now, He may deal with us about it later to straighten it out in our life, but if the grace of God and the blood of Jesus wasn't there to make the difference of where we are and where Christ is, we'd all be in trouble. So if God would open our eyes, and I hope He never does, that we could just see how far we fall short. But where's Hannah? I had the same problem. How far we fall short of that. Let's close with these scriptures. Romans 12:19. It says, "Do not take revenge. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him." You know, it's easy to feed hungry children, innocent children. But the Bible says if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Now, I want him to starve. Okay? Give him something to drink. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, when you respond in kind, when somebody is evil to you and you're evil back, evil triumphs. But when someone does evil to you and you bless that person, you overcome evil by your good. I told you this is not the easiest way to live. It is the most blessed way to live, but you have to choose to live this way. It gets easier as you practice it. Luke 6:27-28 says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Yeah, I pray for them, all right. Get them, God. Kill them. No. Genesis 45. This is Joseph. He said, here's his perspective on the whole thing. When he talked to his brothers and they bowed. And that's the funny thing. When they realized who Joseph was, you know what they did? They fulfilled those two dreams. They bowed. See, what he dreamed was right. Those guys had to have some humility. And they saw that their necks were on the line. And Joseph had the power to execute them, to kill them. They hit their knees and they bowed. And here is Joseph's whole perspective. He says, "So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him weeping. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. You know what I think? I think that this is a picture of how God does. See, we have been offensive. Our lives have been offensive to God. Our sin separates us from God. He has every right to condemn us if He chooses. But you know what He does? He weeps over us. And when He can show blessing to us, you know, Jesus looked at Jerusalem one time and wept. And I believe that this is God's attitude towards us. And when we choose to do it God's way, that this will become our attitude toward those who hurt us. Let me ask you a question. This is the tough one. Who do you need to forgive today? Who do you need to forgive? It's time to do it. Because Christmas is forgiving. Amen.